Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with your Bible teacher and persistent researcher, my best friend and wife, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, dear. Blessings to all, and thanks for tuning in tonight. After a quick review from last week, we will continue in the same vein on who really created Islam and mentored Muhammad. It's going to be an interesting program that needs to be, I think, discussed regardless of your current eschatology, because the church needs to be at least they need to hear this evidence. And then, of course, you are welcome to draw your own conclusions, but I pray you'll do your own research. So, dear, could you open us with prayer?
Yes, thanks. El Shaddai, we worship your holy name. Instruct us through your holy word to be wise and just as we worship and adore you alone. We humbly ask for your favor on tonight's program as we petition to you the recent prayer requests for serious healings, financial needs, and especially for the salvations of our loved ones. May this message bless you as we ask this in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. And tonight, we will have to forego the news because, actually, I'm sure you've had enough of it by now. And then next week, we'll catch you up on some alternative reports.
We do need every minute to continue from last week, so how about a quick review to catch everyone up?
Absolutely. Well, we pointed out last time that I really do believe that Rome has been a major player throughout our world's history, at least since the first century when Rome became an empire. And this has been both overtly and since the Protestant Reformation, really, covertly. And soon, the world will realize this, that she is about to openly reveal herself and will once again be hailed and will even worship this beast, according to Revelation 13. Now, last week I explained that according to Daniel's 490-year prophecy, that the one who signs the future peace agreement, and this next time it'll have to include Jerusalem, which it never has before, and he'll sign it with Israel and many nations, and this person will be from the same people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary in 70 A.D. And hindsight is 2020. We know that was Rome. What's interesting that is that after 483 years, there was this gap of time for the church age. And so we must leave for the last 7 years to finish the prophecy that was all about Israel.
The time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble.
Yes. And so at the end of the 7 years still coming, which coincides with Revelation 19, this Antichrist, along with his false prophet, will be permanently desolated in the lake of fire.
You know, we also mentioned that Rome's Vatican City basically answers to no one.
I know.
It's totally sovereign, writes its own laws, has its own judge, and even has its own Supreme Court and its own zip code.
That's right. Oh, my. Well, we also spoke about the Jesuits. And basically, they were formed in 1540 to particularly counter the Protestant Reformation of 1517, and by any means necessary, including, I'm sorry to say this, assassinations, which is detailed in their oath of the original fourth vow that can still be read on many websites and is included in all the books that I've seen that are ever written about the Jesuits. And I don't want to read it on the air, for it is demonically too graphic a description of how they should murder any heretic of which they were brainwashed to believe that all Protestants were, and they would obey any agent of the Pope or the Superior General of the Jesuits, also known as the Black Pope.
Remember, this is the higher-ranking fourth-level Jesuits.
Right. similar to Freemasonry, which the Jesuits also started. And, you know, I have to say, the lower Masons, they really are good people, and they're just not totally aware of who the God is that's referred to in their lower initiative meetings.
Why is the Superior General of the Jesuits known as the Black Pope?
Because not only does he wear black, he stays behind the scenes in the dark, you could say. Well, but anyway, last week, we also gave actual and very revealing quotes from a few of the white popes who basically declared they were Jesus Christ on earth and that their main prize was to control Jerusalem and go back to a one-world religion.
And, of course, we know this will happen because we have scripture to prove it.
Oh, yeah. It's always been that way. We also said last week that it was the Jesuits who desperately wanted a central bank in America and were responsible for the sinking of the Titanic, that Captain Smith was a Jesuit infiltrator who was told to crash into the icebergs to get rid of those very rich and influential, powerful men who were opposing a Federal Reserve Bank. And by the way, they're on the top of the pyramid. I want to say also, too, that, you know, this top of the pyramid, who I believe is the Jesuits in the Vatican and stuff, they always push the blame on the Jews, you know.
Yep.
And that's the pull. You know, so people think it's the rich Jews and not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's what they do. And they also planned various wars like World War I, which were being planned at the time that this ship went down.
Correct. Well, before we continue, let's tell our listeners how they can contact us.
Very good timing, dear.
All right. Well, first of all, you can come and see us in person on the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. Or if you live too far away, you can email us to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office 440-834-9006 and leave your detailed message with your return phone number or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please prayerfully consider any love offering which is still needed and greatly appreciated, and automatically puts you on our mailing list for any news updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, that contains a load of information, especially on the Break Roots 101. All the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And you can actually read about tonight's topic in our January 2014 newsletter.
And Chick Publications carries an in-depth report on the Jesuits as well.
As told by an ex-Jesuit, Alberto Rivera, whose wife emphatically states he was poisoned by the Jesuits.
YouTube has Alberto Rivera live on there as well in his own words.
That's right. So other ex-Jesuits, by the way, have also admitted that most of the popes have had a strong desire to be the universal monarch of the world and to rule as king from Solomon's rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, just like the Bible says, because Satan totally takes over the Antichrist and will declare himself God. Look how long it's taken him, but his plan will come to pass, but it will only be temporary.
And it looks like it's going to happen pretty soon.
Yeah, and as this pope, by the way, is moving pretty quickly, and he is, by the way, the first Jesuit, as you know probably, and the very first pope to say that atheists can now go to heaven if they're good, and many other outrageous statements that are very revealing to this man.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of Bible-believing Catholics out there, but even some Catholics are saying that he's an apostate.
That's correct. But we didn't finish last week telling the story of how Islam began and about how its famous leader, Muhammad, began as a young orphaned Arab boy way back in the early 600s A.D. who was hand-selected and turned out to be the most famous leader of Islam and still venerated today. Okay, so again, being orphaned at an early age, he lived with his uncle. And there was a Roman monk named Bishop Augustine who worked in the mission field to convert Arabs to Catholicism and was very successful, by the way, converting whole tribes of Arabs at a time. One day he came to pay a visit to Muhammad's home.
That was in the area of North Africa, I believe.
Yes, it was. Arabs then weren't yet very religious in anything except maybe a few moon gods and deities. But they did have some knowledge of Catholicism from word of mouth since it was growing in power. But there was opposition incurring from the true Christians and also the Jews. Somehow the Vatican just had to stop this criticism.
And Rome saw the Arabs as a source of manpower to help them achieve their purpose.
That's right. Many of these converted Arabs were used in reporting information to Rome. Others were used in an underground spy network to carry out Rome's master plan to somehow control the other Arabs who had rejected Catholicism. See, Rome had to get them in too. So, Rome set out to destroy the true knowledge, and St. Augustine's monasteries would serve as bases to seek out and destroy Bible manuscripts.
And to create a Messiah-type leader for the Arabs.
Mm-hmm. Somehow, they could raise up a great leader, a man with charisma, whom Rome would train, and eventually to get all the non-converted Arabs behind this leader, creating a mighty army that would ultimately capture Jerusalem, but for the Pope. That was the goal. And by the way, it still is the goal.
Yep. You know, the enemy is still the enemy.
That's right. Like Ephesians 6 tells us very plainly, that is so. But the Vatican is going to use the Muslims, I believe, once again. You see, it's a smokescreen to get your attention away from the Vatican. So, I believe that they will probably honor a particular Muslim as perhaps their Mahdi Messiah, as they call it. Of course, it'll just be for a short time. But you know what's interesting? There just happens to be a Muslim right now from Turkey named Adnan Oktar, who claims he is the Mahdi, who has even offered to help build the Jewish temple now that Turkey and Israel are friends again. So we are strongly seeing the three major faiths coming together. And like the Pope, this so-called Mahdi probably wants to sit in the temple as well. Rome will use this to their advantage. It'll bring in the anti-Catholic Muslims. And the Vatican has been using, as I've already said, the Arabs since the days of Muhammad. So why not again? Remember, they chose him as a boy to rule over the Muslims. So we see history repeating itself with different players, but with the same goal, because Satan is still Satan. However, as I continue in this story, let me say that the information I'm going to tell you was revealed in a Vatican secret briefing to Jesuits by Cardinal B, that's B-E-A, look him up, when he was old in the 1960s, who boastingly told the Muhammad story as was handed down to him. Now, two of these Jesuits was Malachi Martin and Alberto Rivera, who later on courageously left the order and, as I said, became whistleblowers. Alberto Rivera was slowly poisoned, causing cancer, a cancer type thing, and actually died in 1997. And this is told by his widow, Nuri Rivera, who insists it was the evil Jesuits and has lots of other things to say. Again, you yourself can web search her name and much information will come up. Nuri, that's N-U-R-Y, Rivera. Her testimony is compelling and dangerous for her to speak out, so she's very brave. Anyhow, here's the story as told to Alberto from Cardinal B. This is what he said. He said, a wealthy Arabian widow named Khadijah gave her wealth to the Catholic Church and retired to a convent, but was given an assignment to find a brilliant young man who could be used by the Vatican to create a new religion and become a Messiah figure for the children of Ishmael. Khadijah had a cousin named Warqa, who was also a very faithful converted Arab Catholic, and the Vatican placed him in a critical role as Muhammad's advisor. Teachers were sent to young Muhammad, and he had intensive training. Muhammad studied the works of St. Augustine, which brainwashed and prepared him for his great calling. During this time, the Vatican had Catholic Arabs across North Africa set the stage by spreading the story of a great one who was about to rise up among the people and be the chosen one of their God. While Muhammad was being prepared, he was told that his enemies were the Jews and Protestants, and that only true Christians, were Roman Catholic. He was taught that others calling themselves Christians were actually wicked imposters and should be destroyed. Of course, many Muslims believed this, and many still do today. Satan was very happy with this, and soon Muhammad began receiving demonic divine revelations. And Khadijah, now his much older wife, and her cousin, her Catholic cousin, Warqa, was Muhammad's mentor. He helped him interpret his dreams. And from this came the Quran. Now, Muhammad claimed he had a vision from Allah, who said, "You are the messenger of Allah." This began his career as a prophet, and he received many more messages. By the time Muhammad died, the religion of Islam was exploding. The nomadic Arab tribes were joining forces in the name of Allah and his prophet Muhammad. Some of Muhammad's writings were placed in the Quran. Others were never published. They are now in the hands of high-ranking so-called holy men or ayatollahs in the Islamic faith. Now, Cardinal B even apparently said that these writings are guarded because they contain information that links the Vatican to the creation of Islam. So now you can see why the Pope praises not just Islam, but particularly Iran, who has this proof in their vaults, and why Obama showed such favoritism to Iran in the Iran deal, because Obama takes his orders from Rome, who ordered him to make nice. Okay, so both sides, Islam and Catholicism, have so much information on each other that if exposed, it would create such a scandal that it would be a disaster for both religions. In the Quran, Christ is regarded as a prophet. So if the Pope was his representative on earth, then he also must be a prophet of God. This caused the followers of Muhammad to fear and respect the Pope as another holy man, and so they do. Okay, back to the 7th century Rome, who moved quickly. They started issuing papal bulls granting the Arab generals permission to invade and conquer the nations of North Africa. And they totally financed these massive Islamic armies, many of whom were Persian, which is today's Iran, in exchange for three favors. Number one, they should eliminate the Jews and true Bible believers, which they call infidels. In other words, defeat its enemies. Number two, protect the Augustinian monks and Roman Catholics. And in all invasions, they did. Most important, conquered Jerusalem for His Holiness, the Pope, in the Vatican. Now, as time went by, the power of Islam became tremendous. Jews and true Christians were slaughtered, and Jerusalem fell into their hands. Roman Catholics were never attacked, nor were their shrines during this time. However, when the Pope said, okay, it's time to give Jerusalem to me now, he was surprised at their denial. for the Arab generals had such military success that they wanted Jerusalem for themselves. And if you know history, they did have it for a while. Under Warraka's direction, Muhammad wrote that Abraham offered Ishmael as a sacrifice, not Isaac. And with Muhammad's vision, they built and finished a mosque, the Dome of the Rock, in 691 A.D. in Ishmael's honor on the so-called site of the Jewish temple that had been destroyed back in 70 A.D. This made Jerusalem the second most holy place in the Islam faith, and where they say Muhammad rose to heaven. Now, the Pope at this time, and I believe his name was Sergius, realized what they had created was now out of control when he heard they were calling his holiness an infidel. The Muslim generals were determined to conquer the world for Allah, and now they turned toward Europe. The Pope then raised his own armies, called the Crusaders, to hold them from grabbing Catholic Europe. The Catholic Crusades lasted centuries. Many battles incurred, and Jerusalem slipped out of the Pope's hands. The Turks finally conquered Jerusalem in 1517, the same year of Luther's Reformation, by the way. That was a jubilee year in my mind. So in 1540, the Jesuits were created to also fight for the Pope, but not overtly as in the Crusaders, but rather covertly, underground. And so now we understand Paul's statement about the wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, Rome will eventually get her wish. Israel has indeed agreed to give control of the Temple Mount, as promised in the Oslo Accords of 1993, to Pope Francis. It's there in writing. Till then, the Vatican will hold the Muslims, or mold, I should say, the Muslims. Hold them, not hold them, mold them, to get into her advantage and probably make many false promises to both Muslims and the Jews, which are being brainwashed as well. But ultimately, we'll get her way. Rome will get her way until Jesus returns to destroy him and the false prophet. And we have his word on that. People, this is just to stir you up to do your own research, to understand the magnitude of the demonic realm's continued ambition throughout history. Oh, people, if you haven't made Jesus truly Lord of your life, and not just in your mind, but in your heart too, repent immediately and make Jesus Lord over your life. Time is now running out. And I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yasa Adonai panav eleka v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they're going to prosper. And that's a promise from Psalm 122, verse 6. I know this is a heavy topic and it's almost unbelievable, but I beg you, get in there and do your own homework. See how the enemy has been working all these years. And he's finally going to get victory, but only for a short time. We're leaving here soon, people. Please know the Jesus that I know, the real Jesus, and make him Lord over your life. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.